It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. February 14, 1906, typed. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let a man so account of us, as of the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you should be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory, as if thou hadst not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger, and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1-16. Ministers of Christ and physicians, here is the word of God, clearly defining the position of a steward. Make the instruction contained in this chapter you diligent study, and ask yourselves where you stand in these things. The master's goods in means or in property are placed in the hands of human beings. They are to keep everything in order. The position of steward is one of great accountability. How few realize the responsibility resting upon them in the matter of stewardship. He who is a faithful steward will have a conscience void of offense toward God and his fellow men. He will realize that it is his master's property that he is handling. His position will not be tarnished by mean actions in his dealing with other stewards. He will not try to make his own course appear as possessing great wisdom. He who is placed in the important position of a steward is to guard his master's goods, but he is never in a single transaction to treat others in a close, selfish way. It may be that a steward may enter into selfish dealing to gain advantage, not for himself, but for his master, but he is none the less making such a record that unless he shall change, when in the heavenly courts the inventions and the various means he has employed shall be investigated, a wisdom that cannot err will write opposite his name the words, Tekel, thou art weighted in the balances, and art found wanting. Daniel 5, verse 27. Those who gain advantage by sharp practice make, as they suppose, an excellent gain. But every incident connected with their dealings with believers or unbelievers, which is not in strict accordance with the law of God, has been developing in them characteristics that will not bear the revelation of heaven, and in the great examination day they will wish that they had their lives to live over again. But they have spoiled their record. They have taken advantage of their fellow men, showing that they have not loved their neighbor as they loved themselves. They have not kept the law of God. The steward is to identify his interests with those of his master, who has trusted him. He is to deal justly and love mercy. Every case is to be brought before the great ruler of the universe, who employs human beings. The one against whose name Tekel is found written in the day when actions are weighed, the one whose business dealings have hurt and wronged others, and who has not repented, will not be allowed to pass through the gates of the city of God. I have been viewing a scene. It was called A Parable of Transactions. I cannot at this time describe the transactions because of the anguish that I passed through as I viewed scene after scene. Such distress came upon me that I could scarcely live under the presentation of the parable. I do not wish to dwell upon it now, but I wish to present before you all the necessity of taking particular pains to read the law that God gave to Moses. In the Ten Commandments, the divine rule of conduct is so plainly defined that no one need blunder or make a mistake. There is but one path to heaven, but one gate leading to this path. Christ came to our world and took humanity upon him to live the life of a poor man, to battle with poverty, to meet and conquer temptation, to show us how we may become partakers of the divine nature and thus escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Matthew 7, verse 1-5. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Verses 7-12. This instruction should be studied by every physician and every minister of the gospel. It contains the genuine science of the higher education. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be which find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Verses 13-23. The Sermon on the Mount is a most wonderful discourse. In it, Christ shows most clearly the way, the truth, and the life. The law of God is presented in its divine fullness as the way of excellence, usefulness, and happiness. The dangers of deception are pointed out, with the way to escape the perils to which human agents are subject. Christ told his hearers that their only safety was in being faithful in their stewardship, working out their own salvation, that the Lord Jesus might qualify them to lead others in the way of truth and happiness and obedience. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Verses 24 to 27. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Verses 28-29. Shall we not make thorough work for repentance? Shall we not repent and be converted, that our sins may be blotted out? It is those who make through work in repentance who will be most thoroughly successful in their efforts to help souls that are out of the way. There will be some who will have to speak straight things. They must not avoid delivering the plain reproofs that the Lord lays upon them to give to those who are in responsible positions. For there are those who are not fulfilling their entrusted stewardship, but are permitting the truth to be dishonored by things that should be plainly dealt with. They are sinning against their own souls and against God. Those upon whom the duty is laid are to reprove wrongs in a proper way. They are not to suffer sin upon a brother to go unrebuked. Says Paul, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7-13.